Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Global Spirits Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call. As we've been keeping you informed in our previous interactions, over the last few years, we at Global Spirits have focused on creating steady growth through well-entrenched distribution business, as well as laying a foundation for growth in our consumer business. With this as our platform, we have been able to report strong results in Q4 FY23. Amongst the key highlights of the year that's gone by were the additional capacities that became fully operational. In Jharkhand, we announced the commissioning of our greenfield 140 KL ENA and ethanol plant, which has contributed well for about 6 months of the year. FY23 was also the first full year of operations for the expanded capacity at West Bengal. The installed capacity of the company at the end of FY23 was at 765 KL per day, of which 335 is dedicated to ENA, and the balance is fungible between ENA and ethanol. As we go ahead, we will attempt to convert more capacity to fungible as it allows us additional optionality. Our second expansion in West Bengal and our first expansion in Jharkhand are expected to be commissioned in late Q1 FY24, and once complete, our total capacity will be 905 KL per day. We also now look forward to starting construction at Odisha in Q3 FY24. The capacity for this plant is targeted at 200 KL per day. However, it will be finalized in the coming months. The target CapEx for this capacity is around 160 crores, and with access to interest subsidy, we will be financing this project with around 120 crores from debt and balance from internal accruals. Our interest subsidy loan is at around 4% rate of interest. On the UP project, we have started construction of the bottling plant at Lakhimpur Kheri, and we hope to start bottling our entire range of brands for the UP state by the end of Q3 FY24. In the last few quarters, Param and I have spoken to you about all the work that has been happening in the premium plus space. I'm very happy to inform you that this quarter, the segment of premium plus brands has brought in 6% of our consumer revenue. This is a small but important step as we gather more steam towards getting to our first milestone of 20% consumer segment revenue share. With many new and innovative product offerings and expanding distribution presence, we are very excited about the prospects of these products. I request Param to talk a little more about this.
Thanks, Shekhar. Good morning, everyone, and I hope you all are keeping well. In the overall consumer segment, the aggregate sales in Q4 FY23 came in at 3.25 million cases, which was lower on account of a fall in value and value plus segments. This was due to the short-term environment intervention in the value plus segment. Average realizations saw a robust 20% increase from rupees 451 per case in Q4 FY22 to rupees 540 per case in Q4 FY23. Going forward, with our product mix improving towards the value plus and premium segments, we believe realizations will continue to remain robust. The premium segment is showing very promising prospects. Our revenue in Q4 clocked almost 11 crores against 1.8 crores same time last year. On full-year basis in FY23, it was up by almost 700% to 37.4 crores. West Bengal, UP, and Delhi markets have settled well, having completed one full year of operations in these markets. We entered Haryana towards the end of Q3 FY23. We are going to be further entering a new state of Punjab in early Q2 FY24. This gives us confidence to expand our offering portfolio, and we will be launching some exciting new products in this calendar year across selective markets. Mountain Oak, which is a deluxe whiskey, was launched in West Bengal in Q4 FY23, and Smusky, a premium vodka in two variants during April 23 in UP. We will now be taking these brands to other states selectively. A premium rum is to be launched in Q2 of FY24, and we will also be entering the single malt whiskey segment later this year. Our flagship product in gin, which is the Perai Craft Gin, is going strong, and we have decided to widen distribution width of Perai than the previous year. We are aggressive towards growing the premium business, and towards that we are now building capabilities in digital marketing initiatives as well as key account distribution. Coming to the value and value plus segments, our overall revenue in this segment took a dip due to seasonal changes. RPM changes and excise policy impact, which we have discussed in previous calls. However, in Rajasthan RML, the value plus segment continues to demonstrate our brand strength at the marketplace. This was supported by our Black Lace Rum, which in its second year of launch delivered a double-digit market share in its segment in the quarter gone by. Globus Green, our second whiskey brand in the state, is also in its second year and is gaining consumer acceptance. We had also launched the Kevda flavor in the value segment last year, and we will continue to work in increasing our product offerings to the ever-evolving consumer in this space. I am glad to say, because of our innovating product offerings, our market share in Rajasthan improved in Q4 FY23, over 50% in RML and 33% overall. In Haryana, our strategy to creating a sustainable business model is playing out. We have maintained our increased contribution, and we will continue to build brand strength. Consistent efforts on Metro Liquor, which is in the value plus segment, have helped stabilizing the volumes. We see continued momentum in this segment as we go forward. In West Bengal, as mentioned earlier, there is again a market change in the value and value plus segments, which led to some disruption in our service by the industry. The good news is the introduction of the value plus segment paves the way for building a profitable runway in this segment. We are servicing this segment with two brands and plan to play a key role in growing the segment as well as our role in it. For now, the West Bengal market remains a medium long-term play. I will now request Nilanjan to take the lead. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. Coming to our margins, as illustrated in the investor presentation, the Q4 EBITDA margins were about 16%, excluding IMFL investments, which was slightly higher than our expectations. The ENA price revisions over this year have been helpful, with prices up 15% year-on-year to Rs. 61 per PL. This quarter saw a softening in fuel costs by 27% Q-on-Q. However, grain costs remain elevated. Commodity and fuel prices generally start increasing at the end of Q1 with the onset of monsoons. However, with the work that has taken place on shifting raw material-based FCI, converting more capacity to ethanol, better fuel efficiency, and higher inventory of fuel, we expect that the margins will continue to remain at the current level of around 15% in the next one or two quarters. The company has generated a net cash flow from operations of 122 crores in FY23. Our return ratios, ROE and ROC, are 14% and 17% respectively. The board has recommended a dividend of 60%, that is 6 per equity share, for the year FY23 as against 3 per share of FY22. Since all the results and the investor presentation have been published in advance, I will not take more time and will open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Shekhar, hi. I do have a couple of questions. The first one is on the consumer business. So for the last few quarters, I guess we are regularly seeing some or other kind of disruption here. So, you know, just wanted to get a sense what exactly happening and how do we see it going forward?
Sure. There are two parts to this. One is the value and value plus segment, and the other is the premium plus. On the premium plus side, things are more or less going according to plan. There are some end of year excise policy changes that take place, which is, you know, part of the business. So I wouldn't say there is any disruption or any extraordinary disruption there per se. But in the value plus segments, there have been, you know, two or three sets of disturbances. In Rajasthan earlier on in this year, we had spoken about how there is a new base in the value plus categories, and you know, the whole year has played out according to that. We are now seeing growth come in from this new base. So you know, it is a disruption that took place. It's now behind us. What's very interesting in Rajasthan is that our brands have continued to gather strength. We're now at an overall 33% market share, but in the premium plus, in the value plus category, it's over 50%. I believe last year it was around 40%. In West Bengal, things have been extraordinarily disrupted. There's been several route to market changes that have taken place, and frankly, it's left the entire industry a little bit flummoxed. You know, like Param said, that we are monitoring this, and we remain hopeful on stability here, and therefore allowing brand owners and market operators and other stakeholders to go about their business. Haryana, you know, is playing out the way we expected. We've taken a certain call on reducing our trade spends over there and focusing on margins. So that is playing out. We will become more aggressive here. We're monitoring the environment, and we'll become more aggressive here in the times to come. But for now, the business is playing out as planned and was informed to everybody earlier on in the year. So I hope that gives some clarity to you.
So, you know, given this context, so how are we looking at volume growth here? Is it possible for us to do a high single-digit volume growth?
I think so, very much. You know, West Bengal is obviously at a very low base. Haryana, we have to see how the market shapes up before we can, I can comment on that. But Rajasthan is growing very well, and that is the largest chunk of our value plus business. So yes, high single digit growth is something that we expect.
And my next question is on the margins. Obviously, we have seen an improvement in this quarter. So how are we looking at exit of FY24? Can we go back to 15% to 17% kind of EBITDA margin?
So we are roughly in that range now. You know, we look at this ex IMFL, because IMFL obviously needs to reach a certain scale before it starts contributing profit. So ex IMFL, we, as Nilanjan said, we're at about 16%. I had indicated around 15% in the last call as well. So we are in that range. I do have visibility for, you know, up to 1 to 2 quarters. The biggest element in this is fuel pricing is,
is price of coal. I think what we did very well is bring in energy efficiency across our plants, as well as we've been able to secure good contracts of coal, which will see us through most of the monsoon period. And as a result, I believe that these levels of margins can be sustained for the next 1 to 2 quarters. Beyond that, it really depends on how coal supplies continue in the country. If the current levels remain, then I do believe that this level of margin is sustainable for the rest of the year. But I have visibility for 1 to 2 quarters, which is what Nilanjan also mentioned.
And my final question is on the income tax rate. When are we expected to move to the new tax regime?
I think it's Nilanjan. Can you take this?
Yeah, we are contemplating to go in this current financial year. We will see in the first quarter and decide, but our plan is to go in this financial year.
Thank you, Dr. Kamaise.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, may we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shlok Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Shekhar bhai, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. Finally, looks like the ship is turning around. Sir, I had asked you a question last quarter on coal prices and we had a fairly detailed chat on that. Sir, can you again quantify the exact things that you are seeing on the ground now? Is there now parity with the international prices in the domestic supply? And you mentioned that you have tied up some contracts for the next 1 or 2 quarters. Beyond that, how do you see things moving? What are your hopes and expectations there?
So, frankly, unlike last time, I haven't looked at the international pricing of coal in the last 30 days. So it's difficult for me to say what's happened right now. But suffice it to say, what we've seen in between Jan and March is that there's been an increase in coal supply. Coal India and its subsidiaries have been doing a lot more frequent auctions of coal for the open market. The size of auctions have also increased year on year. We've recently participated in the coal linkage auction that's taken place for the non-regulated sector. Basis all of this, we've been able to secure our fuel prices for this monsoon period, not 100% of our demand of our requirement, but well over 50% of our fuel requirement. In North India, we are not able to purchase coal. The North Indian boilers are based on agri waste such as rice husk and other wastes. And it's very difficult to store this for a very long period due to the volume, low density of fuel and therefore the volume. So what we're seeing is that coal supplies are good. They are strong with the NRS auction and linkage that we've gotten. A large part of our requirement will get covered going forward. So it brings in a little bit of stability in our coal prices and our fuel costs. And with the added storage that we've been able to create, we'll be able to sort of, reduce the volatility this going forward. In future, really where coal prices go is very difficult for me to say. It's a function of supply, really. Demand in India, we all know how it moves. But supply is something that we don't know how it moves. So it really is based on how good are the supplies from Coal India.
Right. So for your reference, coal prices internationally are back to Jan 22 levels, just before the war started. They're back to 150, 160 range dollars. So next question is, you mentioned, you gave a rough guidance on the consumer value plus volume growth. Can you do a similar thing for the ethanol volumes? Because there have been couple of shutdowns, plus one of the facility was not fully operational for the year, the Jharkhand one. So what do you expect this year in terms of ethanol volume growth?
I don't think we're prepared to give that number right now on this call, but I think it's a good point. What we can do is create a sort of a waterfall.
I would really appreciate it.
I think we can do that. We'll do it subsequently and add it to our investment deck. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Sir, I'll really appreciate it, sir. Sir, one final question. There were two developments last time, over the last couple of quarters. One was, we had a setback in Telangana. So any progress on that side, any resolution there? And the second was those IT department raids. And I know you have not disclosed anything, so nothing incremental would have happened. But have they dismissed the case? Have you received anything saying that, oh, okay, you have nothing to do with it? Like, we didn't find anything.
I'll talk about IT and then PSG can talk about Telangana. There's been no sort of order or demand from the department as yet. As I mentioned on the last call, that as and when there are concrete steps forward, we will keep everyone updated. So as of now, status quo, nothing has been, no orders or anything we can receive.
So no escalation from their side and no dismissal from their side?
Yes. So it's status quo. Has been no, we have not received any orders from the department. So that's a fact, that's a data point, so I'm able to talk about that. PSC, can you talk about Telangana, please?
Yeah. Thanks, Sukhar. So in Telangana, obviously, what happened was one of our flagship brands, Golden Reserve, managed to get excise approval. But as we know that some of these approval processes can be strange. The brand is approved in all other states and distinctly so. And as a result, we had to pull back on our strategy because the whole business plan for the state had been based keeping that brand in mind. So as a result, what we did was we have pulled back in Telangana, and as I had mentioned in my presentation earlier, that we are entering Punjab. Punjab is the next chosen state, right, and that we will be entering in June. So
clarification, Punjab is for value and value plus, or is it for premium, the entry?
No,
I missed that point.
Punjab is for premium plus.
Sorry, sir, Punjab is for?
Premium plus.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much, sir. All the best. Great quarter this time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kshitij Saraf from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the turnaround. One question on the agricultural business shaping up in terms of the marketing efforts you've been putting in. Where do we see at an overall level we would be achieving break-even, either in terms of time or in terms of volume, although it might be a bit hard because there are activities going across the state, but anything you could share in terms of the developments and where do you see this going forward in the next year or so?
So, Param, can you take that, please?
Yeah, so I think what we are doing is we are doing a few things, and then I'll try and see. All I can say is at this point of time, our growth will be in three digits. So they will, it will not be a double digit growth, it will be a triple digit growth. That we can definitely put on the table. Beyond that, it's a bit difficult, but let me elaborate a bit. for your benefit. See, one is we, as I had mentioned earlier in a couple of conversations, is we are building capabilities, and right now we are entering digital marketing as we talk, and also investing in key account activities for the on-premise segment. Now, on the brand front, so this will start giving us more work into the marketing and creating brand pull. On the product side, we are obviously increasing our portfolio of products. The products are ready and they were waiting once the route to market has been established to launch. And these products are getting launched as we have enumerated earlier. The third thing we are doing is we are very slowly but in a sure footing way expanding our geography. And these are all dynamic because some things get preponed, some things get pushed a little forward, and hence it makes it very difficult to see beyond a quarter as to how things are going. But as I said, it will be a triple-digit growth for sure. So that should give a lot of comfort to the market from.
So I just want to add one thing to what Param said. The beginning of the series, a state takes 2 to 3 years, around 3 years to break even, you know, at least 2 full years of operations. And considering that, you know, it's our first full year of operation in 3 states, plus we're launching some more states. So it's difficult to say exactly by when this profitability that comes in at an overall basis. But we monitor this state by state, really.
Got it. That's very helpful. Thank you. And on the value and value plus new base that we have, you mentioned a high sort of single digit growth there. Any additional traction you're seeing apart from Rajasthan in any other state to significantly scale up these segments?
So I think the greatest opportunity there is in Haryana and West Bengal. But, you know, both these states have been seeing its set of challenges over the last few years. You know, we remain committed in both the states because we understand the opportunities. But there are a few things from a regulatory standpoint and market standpoint that need to stabilize before we get into advancing our market shares and volumes. You know, whatever advances we make must be done in a sustainable manner. So we are still waiting in for those regulatory aspects to get cleared up before we get aggressive in these 2 states. So, you know, really for this year, the growth is going to be driven by Rajasthan, and the other 2 states are on wait and watch kind of mode.
Thank you so much. That's very helpful. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. A lot has transpired in this quarter, and I think the company is also on to a lot of things. So hence, I have a long list of questions. But before getting to that, I would just like to make a comment here that, one, it is appreciated from the investor community that the company has becoming more and more investor-friendly. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because of the relevant data and the input given by the investors, taken in a positive note by the company, and the proof coming out in every presentation becoming more and more friendly when it comes to data, etc., which is more we crave in this industry. Moving on to my first question, sir. UP, you said you're going to set up a bottling plant there before you set up the distillery. I think this is the first time you would be doing that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And would you be entering both the IMFL segment and the IMIL segment before the distillery itself through the bottling unit?
Right. Thank you for your words, Nitin. So as far as your question goes, so UP, as opposed to the other states where we've entered, where we've seen opportunity in ENA, ethanol, as well as consumer, the rationale for the UP investment is largely the consumer business of the state. And as a result, we are prioritizing the bottling plant before we set up the alcohol production capability there.
And UP, yes, will see the entire range of our portfolio. There may be some brands which are not there, but pretty much the entire range starting from value, value plus, and premium.
Understood. So UPML, you are entering that segment, right?
Yeah, the strategy is to be in all segments. The strategy is to be in all segments. The timing of each strategy might vary. So after the bottling plant starts, you may have a period of 12 to 18 months where different categories are being launched at different times. But yes, very much, we intend to be in all the categories in UP.
Understood, sir. When is the bottling plant going to be commissioned?
So I mentioned that in my opening remarks. It's around Q3, end of Q3 of this year.
End of Q3. Okay, because that opens a very large market for the at least the IMR segment, which you're saying would grow in the single digits. This could predominantly push it back into the early double digits, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but you know, that's really going to, we're going to really start seeing that or monitoring that in the next fiscal. In this fiscal, as a first step, we're going to move our bottling of the premium brands into UP. So that's going to add some profitability. UP is very important for profitability of our entire IMFL operation. So the first step is to reduce costs by shifting. Next step would be then to look at the value and value plus segments. So like I said, 12 to 18 months after startup of that bottling plant, we'll start unlocking some of these opportunities.
Understood, sir. So one straightforward question, can we hit 1 million cases in IMFL segment given the geographical addition and the product portfolio addition in the coming fiscal year?
Yeah, that's a great question. Param, can you take that?
No. We are still a while away from reaching a million cases in IMFL. We are, it's a step at a time. We've, as I said, we've done a couple of lakh cases, 2 lakh cases. So no. I think that's still going to take us a couple of years more.
I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, we are all dreaming for it. We are all gunning for it. But realistically, it's just a bit further down the line.
So you know, we're not going to grow 5 times in this year, Nitin. But Param said earlier that we are very much in the triple digit growth. So let's just leave it at that for now.
Understood, sir. Many excise policy changes coming through Haryana excise policy, and why I'm bringing this policy particularly up was because this state was not giving price hikes for a number of years. Again, in this policy, I don't see a price hike. However, there has been a lot of tweaks around prices given to retailers and minimum selling price being imposed and all those things. So could you just walk us through, is the net impact positive of this policy on the state, on our business?
Param, could you take this?
No, so the net impact is more or less neutral, but in IMFL, it is definitely giving an opportunity to get some positive impact in the value and value plus. There is as of now, not much opportunity seems to be visible. Obviously, we will wait and watch how it goes. Further in the year, IMFL definitely there seems to be an opportunity on a couple of brands to get some more elbow room in terms of moving up the value chain.
Understood, sir. More questions from my side. However, I'll join back in the queue so that everyone has an opportunity. Thank you so much for answering the question, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Sulana from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. My first question is on revenue. Can you please provide me the bifurcation between the EIN and ethanol?
Okay. Nilanjan, do you have that number, the split between ENA and ethanol? I think the way we track that, sir, is just total bulk alcohol, because some of our capacities are fungible. We don't really track how much is how much share of revenue between ENA and ethanol?
Yeah. I have the number for the entire year. Ethanol,
go ahead.
55, ethanol has been 55% and ENA has been 45% of our total total sale that has happened in the bulk alcohol.
Okay, sir. So my next question is, which feedstock the company usually and what are their prices?
Can you repeat that? Your line is not clear.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sulara, can you please use your handset to ask a question?
Hello, hello.
Yes,
sir. I am moderating.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Which feedstock the company usually and what are their prices?
We are using rice for production of alcohol. We purchase rice for ethanol. This year we have our entire alcohol ethanol production will be from FCI rice, and that is given to us at a fixed price of 2,000 rupees per quintal ex FCI depots. And for our ENA, we are using broken rice purchased from the open market. The prices of this are volatile through the year. They go up and down. And in the year that's gone by, we've seen prices range from around 1,900 rupees to about 2,300 rupees per quintal. Currently, we are at the higher end of that range.
Okay, sir. Thank you. So, one more question. Once the capex of Odisha and Uttar Pradesh is done, then what would be the fungible between ENA and ethanol? And what would be the total capacity that we can produce? And what would be the total projected revenue?
So, right now in UP, we are only setting up the bottling plant. In Odisha, we are setting up a distillery. The tentative capacity of that distillery is 200 KL. And this will be dedicated ethanol for the time being. So after Odisha is complete, you will have about 335 dedicated ENA and about 430, which is fungible between ENA and ethanol, and 200 of Odisha, which will be dedicated for ethanol.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Just to clarify first on the grain prices, I think in Q2 you had mentioned it was around 19.5 and Q3 21, and now you are saying that the range has been 19 to 23 with us being closer to the higher end of the range. So in the last three quarters, we have moved from 19.5 to 23. Is that the right understanding of the grain prices?
I think our average prices for the quarter are about 22, between 21 and 22. But we've seen instances of 23 as well. That is what I meant in my last response.
Okay. So like you elucidated for the coal, wherein you said that we have the visibility because of our, we sort of locking in for the next two quarters, and thereafter it will be dependent on how coal prices will be. So what would be your comments regarding the grain prices and, what is to be expected?
So on ethanol, we've locked in based on FCI, as I mentioned, for this entire year up till September. Then the new ethanol year starts. So this year, the ethanol year is from December to October, and then from next year it will be November to October. And for the current year, we've locked in our rice prices at 2,000 rupees, and of course the fuel aspect of it as well, not for the whole year but for around 1 to 2 quarters. on broken rice purchase for ENA, we are not able to lock that in. And however, ENA prices, we have control on the pricing of ENA. Nilanjan mentioned that we've grown our ENA realizations by 15% this year. So to that extent, it's not a very big risk factor. Of course, if there is a very dramatic change, it takes some time to adjust the prices. But with regard to our consumer business, well, that's a fixed price for 1 year, so that risk obviously exists in the business.
Understood. And on the IMFL business, I think there were two trends which we saw. A, there was some softening this quarter, I think, compared to the last quarter in terms of the overall IMFL business, which was a bit surprising given that, you know, we are really at a very, very small number as of now. And second is, compared to the losses that we did, which was almost to the tune of 2% of EBITDA. So what is the expectation of an absolute loss coming from this business in this financial year as per your yearly budget?
So the volumes have gone more or less as per our plan. It's Q4. We were expecting a slightly weaker quarter because of the states that we're present in, the changes in excise policy that takes place. So no significant disruption there. It's more or less as per our plan. But on the investment side, I've maintained that, you know, around 20 crores plus minus a little bit is what we want to invest in the IMFL business. So, you know, it's going to be in that range for this year as well. You know, we're trying to, like Param mentioned, create capabilities. We have almost all our states are within that 3 year, 2 to 3 year window of getting to the journey of break even. So in this period, 20 to 25 is the kind of loss that we will continue to make, and this is an investment into the company's future.
So this 20 crores, 15 to 20 crores number is a little bit, I would say, in case we have a large ambition to be a large player in this business, it sounds a very small number as such in the grand scheme of things. So, I mean, compared to a strategy which could have been to, you know, sort of putting the P&L at a slightly more risk for 1 or 2 years, but then going for a very large sort of a number here, how do you compare these two strategies, and why are we looking at a very incremental sort of a spend?
I think that's a great question. I mean, you know, we are at a stage in the IMFL business where we are creating a distribution network. We've got back-end capabilities to produce this product. So aside from, you know, like a UP that I mentioned, where we are creating capability on back-end as well, there is no real capacity creation or CapEx that is planned in the consumer business. So the spends are really on creating teams and capabilities. Our teams have the ability to service a much larger volume, and that volume obviously takes time to generate, and therefore there is a loss. We're also from this year onwards going to be investing money in marketing these products in the states, or rather in the regions that we've got a satisfactory distribution presence. I think the question of putting in more fuel in the tank and going a little more aggressive starts coming in once we have capabilities in distribution. We've reached a certain critical mass in terms of contiguous states or number of outlets that we're present in, and we're still a couple of years away from that. And in this process, we want to invest in a meaningful manner, but also be cautious of our return on investment. You know, I think if we are to put in, say, you know, 2 or 3 times that number in this year, I don't think we're going to get 2 or 3 times the business. So it has to be done cautiously and in a step-by-step manner.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow, India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My question is on your, you know, cash flows. If I, you know, assume margins and 15, 16, 17%, and if I look at this year and then the years coming, I think we would be close to, you know, generating about 300 crores of operating cash before, you know, this capex and all. So what are the plans going forward other than, you know, these two, you know, facilities that you will put in the future, maybe, you know, this year, next year, and after that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So, you know, till now, the company has, the way we've done capital allocation in the last couple of years is that, you know, we would deploy this capital first for our IMFL business that gets priority, and the cash that was left was deployed in the in capacity generation in the ethanol space. The ethanol space, we have identified a few states when we started our expansion cycle 2 or 3 years ago, where we believe that there is sustainable return, sustainable sufficient return on capital available, and in those select states we have gone ahead and created capacity. Odisha is the last one for that. UP is of course a longer term consumer based play, which is also part of our capex cycle, and that will come in later on. But on the ethanol capacity generation, Odisha is going to be the last one in this capex plan. Thereafter, as of now, I don't see more states available where capacity creation has this sustainable and sufficient return on capital available. We wait to see how you know, the country moves towards E20. We really need that to happen now. We're currently at about E10. We need to see what are the stages to get to E20 and how that ramp up is taking place before we create another capex plan. So currently, after Odisha, this is the end of this capex plan, and there's no further capex for capacity creation that is envisaged. You know, the capital that we're able to raise from banks for this capacity creation is at very interesting interest costs at around 4%. And to that extent, we do feel it, you know, it adds to our returns to use that financing option. Thereafter, you know, you're going to get to a stage where debt is being paid off for some time because of the cash generation that you spoke about. It's natural. And also building up some reserves in the company, you know, to try to do something interesting and inorganic in the future. But currently there's no inorganic opportunity that I see, but, you know, there will be in the future, so keep some fuel for that as well. So that's the thought right now at the board for how capital can get allocated in the company going forward. Pay down debt once our capex cycles are complete, as well as build reserves for inorganic opportunities in the future.
This is super helpful. The second question is on, you know, the Haryana plant. Last quarter we had some problems, so can you, you know, tell us what is the status there, if not already discussed, understand.
No, yeah, Haryana has bounced back in terms of operating to our internal targets. We didn't have, you know, 95% is our standard capacity utilization targeted for the whole year. We didn't reach 95% in Haryana in Q3, but I believe it was close to 90. I think it was 88 or 89% in Q4. And you know, as we go into Q1 this year, you know, we are targeting 95% from Haryana. In fact, in all our plants, you know, the maintenance is more or less complete that we had planned, and now we should be firing on all cylinders in going into Q1 and Q2 of this financial year.
And last quarter we had a 10-12 crore you know, hit on the EBITDA. What was in this quarter, you know?
Could you say that again, please?
So what I was saying is, last quarter I think we had about 10-12 crore hit on EBITDA because of this facility. What would that number would have been, you know, in the last quarter?
You mean due to lower capacity,
lower capacity or aging of equipment, you know, multiple issues were there.
Oh, right, right, right. So Q3 over Q4, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think someone else asked this question earlier on, and I promised them a waterfall on capacities in this whole year, because there's been a lot of up and down, new capacity has come up, maintenance closures, etc. So we will prepare that and add it to our investor deck. Give us 24 to 48 hours to do that.
Right. All right. Just one more question on the consumer business, and then I'll join back the queue. You know, if I look at your consumer business, you have a very large share in Rajasthan, and multiple factors had you know, helped you in Rajasthan. Now we are also present in 5-6 more states. Do you see any sort of, you know, replication of what you have done in Rajasthan in any of the states that you are entering, based on your, you know, experience?
So consumer business needs to be broken into two to be answered correctly. One is the value plus, and the other is the premium plus. In the value plus, we are present in Rajasthan, Haryana, West Bengal, and Delhi. Delhi is a sticky market. It's low single digit growth. So we've got 20-25% market share in Delhi, and it's been like this for a very long time. It's also a much smaller market for value plus. Haryana and West Bengal, I think we've all covered in quite detail in today's call. We remain very excited about the prospects there. However, you know, they are slightly longer term opportunities to unlock. And we remain committed to replicating the Rajasthan level of success in these two states as well. But it is a medium to long term opportunity. So you know, it's not going to happen in this year for sure. This year Rajasthan will continue to drive the value plus business. With regard to premium plus, we're present in addition to the three states I mentioned. We're also present in UP, and we are launching in Punjab. And here, it's you know, we've also covered this, that it's a certain journey. We're building capabilities. It takes 2 to 3 years to break even in the state, and we've got lots of new products in the way, and all of this is driving our expected growth of triple digits in the coming financial year.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Navneet Bhaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shikhar. Congrats for the revival in the margins. I have two questions. What are your gross margins in the premium segment right now?
Sure. Nilanjan, can you answer that, please?
So our gross margins in the premium segment is around 43%. Terai alone is at 71%.
Sorry, I didn't get the last part. Terai is how much?
71%. 71%.
Okay. Shekhar and Param, you of course alluded to the fact that it takes about 2 years for a state to turn around. For a business as a, you know, overall in the premium segment, is there a number, say 100 crore top line or a 150 crore top line when you would not be having any more EBITDA losses that you can foresee?
So I think that will depend on, you know, each state, as we said, you know, in its third year of operation, we are envisaging every state will reach an equal position. And as we are stepping up, we obviously have to, we'll keep adding new brands portfolio, and our portfolio addition will start slowing down and the state growth will continue its momentum. So if we prepone our additional brands on the runway of the state, it starts, when it starts doing well, we will probably extend one more year into putting a huge marketing spend in that state on that brand. So the state PNL with the original brand would be plus, but with the new brand investment will again go into minus. So that is the way to look at it. But we are, as I said, we are absolutely with a hawk eye managing the fact that every brand as it goes in, the state must start becoming sustainable in its third year. And we feel that almost all, or maybe barring one or two, which may stretch another few months or one more year, they should stop getting into the investment mode from the negative EBITDA point of view. And they will stay in the investment mode because we will still accelerate growth depending on what our business objective at that point is. We do have a large, larger view today, but we keep tweaking it. So the state on its own, if we don't keep adding portfolio, will start generating money. But we are also adding portfolio to it. But the losses will start tapering down. Because when three brands start giving some margin and one new brand takes a bit, the state gets into a far, far healthier position. Because what we want to do is, as soon as it becomes, we're not interested in taking a crore profit in the state. What we want is, we want to really get into a situation where the state is profitable in the sense of the word profitable, and not the bottom turning from red to black.
Understood. In your premium segment, would Terai contribute what, 70-80% of the overall turnover, or
no? Terai is a super premium luxury range brand. It has a much smaller contribution, but which is in terms of top line, I think I'm speaking at the correction. Terai would be about in the high teens, if I'm speaking at the correction.
Yeah, I'll just come in on this one. So Terai contributes on profit about 20%, 20-25% of our profitability. In terms of volume, it's a very small percentage,
yeah.
But in terms of profitability, it's about 20-25%.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay, second, I again noticed in your presentation you are looking to launch quite a few new brands, vodka, rum, as you mentioned. I wanted to know about, you know, the initial brand that you launched, Shekhar, I think this was some 3-4 years back, Oakton, Lafayette, Governor's Reserve.
So the year gone by, the numbers we have reported are on the back of the Governors and Oakton only. What you are seeing today is Governors and Oakton only. The new brands have just started moving in. Yeah, absolutely. So the numbers.
Yeah, no, to answer your question, there's no, we're not moving away from the brands. We are adding more brands. I mean, so creating capabilities like creating that highway, and, you know, now in some states our highways are, you know, getting ready. So now we need more cars to ply on this highway, and that's the work that's happening.
Okay, so your results from your earliest launch plans are maybe as encouraging or maybe more than Terai, if I were to understand correctly. Am I right?
Can you say that again?
The success that you got from your earliest launched brands like Governors Reserve, Oakton, are they as successful as the results that you're seeing from Terai or better?
I mean, success is a relative term, and I think we'll all be happy with even more success. But what's, you know, we are satisfied with the performance. It's more or less in line with our plans. We've had in some areas overperformance, in some areas underperformance, but that is the nature of the life cycle that we're in. As our business grows, we'll get better at forecasting and budgeting. But as of now, you know, satisfactory performance in most states and in brands.
Okay, understood. That's encouraging. My last question is, do you plan to launch your IMIL, the value and value plus segments in the new states that you're entering, like Jharkhand, Odisha? I noticed you said it's a dedicated ethanol facility. So do you have any plans of entering the lower end consumer segment in these states as well?
Yeah, we do. We do very much. I think we've got, you know, a bigger fish to fry right now in terms of UP, Punjab, Haryana, which we just launched for IMFL. There are a couple of new categories that are very exciting for us. Some we've spoken about, and our innovation team continues to work on a few other activities which we have not yet spoken about. Now, these have been taking a lot of our time and, frankly, are more rewarding for our time and money than getting into Jharkhand. But yes, in the medium term, Jharkhand is very much on the table. It's not something that's planned for the current fiscal.
How long does the regulatory approval take to come to launch your value class segments in the new states?
I mean, not much yet. I don't have an answer really, but you know, assume 30 to 60 days, I guess.
Yeah, generally within a quarter. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I understood.
Once we start business planning in Jharkhand, that the regulatory approval time frame will be a part of the business plan. So currently we are not planning it. So that's why I don't have a concrete answer.
Understood. Fair enough. Congrats and all the best for the future for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Just one question this time around. Chhattisgarh as a market has seen a lot of things transpire over the last few months, especially in the value and value plus segment. And that would open a gateway for somebody like you. Who has referred to the right to win whenever you enter a state. So this state would be providing the right to win for the established player right now. So would you be looking at this state?
Which state are you talking about?
Chhattisgarh.
Okay. No, we have no plans in Chhattisgarh right now. Like I said earlier, we are really busy here. And, you know, frankly, at this stage, we got to pick our battles. And we've picked a few and we're focusing on that right now.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Swaroop, Joint Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. Please reach out to us if you have further inquiries. We'll be happy to answer them. Have a good day and see you again after some time.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Globus Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.